Well, we are continuing in Daniel, and I sound a little loud out there. Right? Am I loud out there? Yeah. Am I a little loud out there?
No, it's good.
Oh, okay. And we left off at verse 13 in Daniel last week, and we'll continue on. And it's during that phase, we're into the phase now where Daniel is going to really show and give the praise to God. I love this part where he definitely used this opportunity to as I like to call it, plant a seed in Nebuchadnezzar's heart that the God above, the true one true God, is the only God who's got any power. And he's going to show that. Coming up, it won't be today. I'm just going to do the first part of chapter 2. We're still continuing. Not quite to the dream itself yet, but that we're going to try to do in the next 17 verses. And so I'll start reading here in Daniel 2:13. And just a quick catch-up. We had left off where Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he had forgotten or intentionally was trying to prove whether or not his wizards and his sorcerers really knew what they were doing. And so he called them in and wanted to cause them to tell him his dream, plus interpret it. And of course, being that they didn't have the power of our God, they weren't able to do that. So the king had just issued a proclamation that all the wizards and sorcerers and wise men of the kingdom were going to be beheaded. And that's where we left off last week. And Daniel got wind of this, and this is, we're picking up the part where Daniel is going to step in and show how great our God is. And so, starting in verse 13, and the decree went forward that the wise man should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. I guess Daniel was part of this group, even though we know that sorcery and wizards and things like that are definitely not godly. But Daniel, in his unique way, was able to use his abilities to, cause them to think differently about our God, and that through his being in a somewhat evil place, was able to shine. I actually named this one Daniel's. Didn't write it down, I guess. Okay, basically glorifying God. So, some interesting verses. I just wanted to flip back. Let's continue on here with chapter 2. Then Daniel answered, and let me fix that a little bit here first. The picture is kind of getting over the verse there a little bit. Okay, that's better. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. This guy was basically a executioner, and he was sent out by the king to basically perform a task. So I give Daniel quite a bit of credit that he's going to approach this man who's probably carrying a hatchet and getting ready to chop heads off, and that Daniel is going to convince him to let him try to satisfy the king. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hastily from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Well, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And just as a reflection back, I just wanted the boldness of Daniel is just amazing to me that again, as I mentioned last week, Daniel was not in a kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was, even though sometimes it seems like he was pretty mild-mannered, he was a pretty evil king. Pretty much if you went against him, he was quick to punish by beheading. And that was his known way of taking care of his enemies. So I give Daniel a lot of faith in being able to approach the king and say, well, wait a minute, let me have a shot at it. But just to go back to when Daniel first met the king, in Daniel 1:18-19, said, "Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And this is the point that the king actually questioned them, and the king was quite impressed with their knowledge and their ability. So I can see where Daniel already had was already known by the king to be a wise person. So that probably helped a lot. And of course, Daniel gives all this glory to God. So back to Daniel 2:17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. We know these three individuals probably more notably as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were their actual names. And I just point out a couple of verses that talking about they're going to get ready to pray for wisdom on this matter. And over in James 5:16, it made me think about, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what I'm thinking of at this point when Daniel is getting ready to pray with his three companions. Also in Matthew, here Jesus himself says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So I can see here that Daniel, knowing probably this verse, it's probably an Old Testament version of this verse, that he was gathering his three companions together, and the four of them were going to pray for wisdom from God. Okay, verse 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. It reminds me of another individual. I just can't. I love the story of Esther. She was quite a bold woman herself, and she did a very similar thing over in Esther 4:15 through 17. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. So here again, the fervent prayer of a group of people, and God will answer according to his will. Also in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Over in Proverbs also, speaking of trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. One of our favorite verses. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So these verses all kind of spell out what Daniel is doing here in calling on the Lord to help in this situation. And that talking about God protecting them over in 2 Peter 2:9, a great verse that tells us that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So I think that all these verses spell to the fact that Daniel knew that God was in this and that he was going to be probably not killed, and that the Lord was going to come through. So now you always know when you're in God's will, I think. Okay, back to Daniel 2:19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I can't help but think about the fact that, talking about secrets, over in Proverbs 3:32, for the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. I think that I find that so true today. I can't help but think as I go around this world and look at different things, and I know what the Lord says in the Bible, and I'm saying to myself, how come other people don't see it? And I think it's because they just don't put their trust in him. And somehow we got an inside vision that other people just don't see. And I try to keep that in mind as I'm speaking to the those that are not saved yet and not found the Lord yet, that they just need to find unique ways to try to convince them that the Lord will help us see the truth, even when most people think seem to be seeing a different way. They're following the world, and the world is, I think, leading them astray more often nowadays than ever before. Also in Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And this is what God is getting ready to do with Daniel. Okay, Daniel 2:20. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. So here Daniel is acknowledging to God and during his prayer that how much he appreciated God coming through and helping him to understand the prayer. Another great verse that talking about wisdom that was God had given him in the beginning. We knew this, that God had given him wisdom. And you can see here the wisdom, and that Daniel recognized that wisdom came from God, that it wasn't of his own. And over in Psalms 147:5 talks to this. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Also in Matthew 6:13, the Lord Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We all know this is the Lord's prayer, even though it's more like the apostles' prayer. It's, but here we see that Jesus is teaching us that the power that God has is just infinite. And over in Revelation 5:12, that this it tells us that this power comes from the Lord Jesus, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So we know the source of this wisdom and power is always through God. Okay, Daniel 2:21. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. God can't give what he doesn't possess, as I'd like to say it. It made me think about the fact, this verse here, that he knew ahead of time exactly that this whole situation was going to happen, and it had put Daniel in the right spot at the right time to be ready to do God's will and to have God shine. And we know that as we proceed through Daniel, we're going to see over and over and over again that Daniel was in the right place at the right time for many prophecies that we're seeing even coming fulfilled today. But over in Daniel 7:25, jumping ahead a little bit, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws that they shall be given into the hand unto a time, the times, and a dividing of time. And the reason I stuck this in here is this is more talking about what the Antichrist is going to be doing in the tribulation, but that that we see God Almighty even through the Antichrist, that he will have that the Antichrist will have a little bit of this power for a period of time that God is going to allow him to have. And I'm not sure at this point why I picked to do it right here, but I need to go back and look at something. I think it was in my Bible as a companion verse. Now I'm not exactly sure why. But we'll go on. Also over in Job, talking about removing kings. Job speaks to this in 12:18. He looseth the bonds of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. In Acts 13:21. And after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he had given testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. He's just talking about the fact that God is in control. And even though we may not completely agree with some of the things that are happening today, you have to think about the fact that there's a good possibility that the current situation was allowed by God, and that it's kind of interesting that the current things that are happening are filling, kind of showing us that the end is coming rather quickly, I think. Okay, on to Daniel, verse 2:22. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. And seeing here that he reveals things, over in Psalms 25:14, speaks to this. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Isaiah also in 42:9. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of my mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And I put this verse in here that basically that we put our trust in God, and that will always come out positive in the end. Also in 1 Corinthians. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Again, talking about power here, the power of God, that it's everlasting, infinite. And speaking to the fact that in verse 22, it talks about the dark times. In Psalms 139:11-12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. So even in the dark times, the light of the Lord will shine out from us. That's basically what I'm driving at here. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And all these verses are kind of pointing at the fact that Daniel has been given this light to shine even in a dark time that we see happening in Babylon. And of course, if you've been following my Ezekiel study, you know that this whole thing is leading up to the fact that Jerusalem is being destroyed, and they're going through some hard times right now. Daniel and Ezekiel were both taken out of the out of arm's way pretty much prior to the really bad stuff that happened in Jerusalem. Kind of symbolic of what we got to look forward to, I think. Now, in their cases, they were just taken, removed from the general location, which is... Whereas I think we're going to be taken completely off the planet. Okay, and speaking to this verse here, desiring to know things about, where is it? Be now what we deserve, desire of thee. And over in Psalms, again, I already mentioned this verse once, but worth re-mentioning, Psalms 25:14. The secrets of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And also in Amos, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets under his servants, the prophets. And as Jesus' followers, we too can speak with wisdom, knowing this. And in John 15:15, it speaks to this. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And I look at this verse and I think to myself that that's what the Bible gives us. As we get to see things into the inner workings of God's thoughts. And that I sometimes think back to these times when some of these famous people in the past, they didn't have what we had when it comes to the Bible. Even John didn't really know much about the New Testament yet. He knew of Paul, he knew of the other apostles, but not necessarily the day in and day out stuff that would be revealed to them. I'm not sure at what point. John might have known because he lived the longest, and he probably saw all the letters and things that came out of Paul's ministry and Peter and Acts, Luke, and the other apostles. But most of the other ones, and thinking about Daniel, Daniel only really had the first five books. We probably had up to Psalms, maybe, in that general area. Some of the prophets, maybe. And so that a lot of his wisdom was coming just from those early biblical records. I give him a lot of credit for his faith. Okay, Daniel 2:24. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And this kind of reminded me, too, of Paul, as he knew when he was doing God, that Daniel, he knew that he was getting ready to do God's work. Well, he'd already prayed at this point, so he already knew that God had given him the wisdom. It made me think about Paul over in Acts 27:24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. This was that famous time when all the men were in fear just before the shipwreck, and Paul had already been told by God that that he was going to make it to Rome in this case. So he knew that that he was going to be just fine. And so he was able to use that information and calm the hearts of others. Back to Daniel 2:25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judea that will make known unto the king the interpretation. I like this executioner, though. Notice he says here, I brought in Daniel before the king in haste. I think Arioch was really not wanting to fulfill his mission of beheading everybody. He probably had some friends and stuff that you know, maybe of that group that he really liked, and he didn't really want to follow the king's orders, but he knew in his heart that if he didn't, that the king was going to behead him. And so I read that into that verse there. Verse 26. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. And I'm just going to show a couple of other. Notice he said that term latter days. And even at this point, Daniel knew that what he was going to reveal to him was something that is still future to him. And that in certain parts of it are still future to us, even. Here we are 2,600 years later. I thought I'd point to a few other places that they talk about the latter days. And over in Genesis 41:16. Here Joseph, kind of in a parallel way. And Joseph answers Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I love the parallel between Daniel and Joseph. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, that the amazing parallels between those two is that if you look in the Bible, you'll never find anything negative said about either one. And that's quite unique amongst most of the characters of the Bible. Go over in Amos 4:13 also. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thoughts, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high place of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Over in Ezekiel 38:8, something still future. We just finished studying that. In many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nation, and they shall dwell safely all of them. Also in verse 16, and thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So again, I'm using these verses as examples. The latter days means a time period even to our future. And we're going to see that a lot, quite a bit in Daniel, as we get into more into the latter chapters. Hosea also, 3:5. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord his godliness in the latter days. This is an interesting verse because Hosea was a prophet after King David had already passed on and died. And here we see a verse that correlates that David, the king, shall fear the Lord and his goodness, that he's going to be come back to life in the latter days. We're starting to get into that a little bit in my Ezekiel study during the week. That'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks. We talk a little bit about David and his role in the millennial kingdom. Over in Micah 4:1-2, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Again, all things that haven't happened yet. And some things in the New Testament. Speaking of 2 Timothy, Paul here is talking to young Timothy. Then also know that that in the last days perilous times shall come. Kind of sensing that is becoming a reality as we speak. Also in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. So we can see the latter days is something that is definitely a term used to speak of the end of the age, I believe. Going back to Daniel 2:29, and here Daniel's in front of the king. And as for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that reveals secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Now I'm just going to shoot ahead just for a second here to Daniel 4:34. In the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is for generation to generation. I popped forward to this to kind of show that this whole scenario is setting Nebuchadnezzar up to be ready to realize who the real God of the earth is. And we recognize it here. We get to chapter 4, a fascinating chapter, because it was actually written by Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll have some fun in that chapter to see a change in the man. So to end for today, Daniel 2, verse 30. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes they shall make known the interpretation to the king, that thou mightst know the thoughts of thy heart. So we're going to end there today, and look forward to actually looking at the actual dream itself and the interpretation starting next week. So if you want to read ahead, you can finish reading chapter 2 and get an idea of what the dream is about, and we'll start taking a look at that next week. Any questions? Nope. Okay, well, what a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you so much for this time to, as we see all these major prophecies that you gave to your prophets all through the ages, and that we see fulfillment starting to happen in our day and time, Lord. So exciting, Lord, to see that all these things you knew way ahead of time. And so we put our trust and our faith in you, Lord, that